Chapter 62. The description of the quest was unfortunately short on details.
Using your knowledge of the Black Sprout and the relationships between all the players, broker a peace between the angels and demons. Note, in order to complete this quest, you must have access to the rift. Reward? You will win Kaiju Battlefield Surgeon.
That was it. It gave no further details. That note was a clue. We had to be able to get into hell in order for this to work. I believed we first had to free the two angels. Then I hoped to convince them to travel with Clara and me into hell where we would get to Bail. And instead of fighting and killing the big guy, we'd somehow talk him into putting aside all our differences.
And how are you going to do that?
Guildmaster Fiona asked me when I explained my plan.
If you somehow manage to convince the angels to get into hell, what is to stop Bail from eviscerating them? He does not want peace. Not anymore.
Let me worry about that, I said, with a confidence I did not feel.
Okay,
Fiona finally said, unbuckling the gloves from her hands.
If you really want to do this, you must clear out the demons surrounding Medina. This will never work while they are on our doorstep.
I stared up at the tall, angled roof of the Temple of the Chained Gods, the only part of the building I could see from my hiding place in the alley across the wide street. Clara, as a fae, was welcome in the temple. She spent the day scooping it out and planning our attack. We had hoped there would be some sort of side entrance or hidden alcove from where we could approach. There was nothing. One had to pay to get inside, and there was only one way in as far as she could tell. The temple was shaped like a massive cross. The two trapped angels were thoroughly guarded and protected. We'd gone over several different ideas. Until he hit level 50, Banksy was still able to travel within and under the city. The first plan was for Banksy to burrow up from underneath and destroy the center of the temple. By destroying the walls, the barrier would break, and we'd have free access to the two angels. From there, we could pluck the flowers and hopefully hold off the attacking radiance long enough for the angels to wake up and come to their senses. That was now Plan B. At this moment, Banksy was buried deep underground, ready and waiting. We went with stealth instead. Clara used her pool of skill points to buy herself a skill called Locksmith, and she brought it up to level 3 with a cybernetic upgrade. It not only allowed her to disable all physical and magical locks and barriers, but level 3 allowed her to place dummy versions of the protection so the owners didn't know their security had been breached. Earlier today, she had successfully replaced the barrier in the Western Hall, the one before the angel Ragel. This particular angel was worshipped heavily by the Caduceus, and as such, the barrier was the least crowded. This alley was as close as we could get without raising suspicion. It was time.
You ready?
Yeah. Don't drop me. I downed the acumen potion. The potion normally raised your acumen by 5 points for 2 hours. Thanks to my potion skill, my acumen was instead raised by 10 points for 4 hours. That brought my acumen to 44. My level 2 of miniaturize wasn't enough, so I'd spent the last of my skill points to bring me to level 3. The cybernetic upgrade allowed me to alter my size between 1/8 and 1/20th, and it allowed me to shrink for 10 seconds of every level of acumen. So 440 seconds, or 7 minutes and 20 seconds. The world rose around me as I cast the spell. I shrank myself so I was about 4 inches tall, which was as small as I dared go. I would be tiny, but not so small that I wouldn't be noticeable.
Yeah.
Clara snatched me up and stuffed me into the pack attached to the leg of her armor. From there, she rushed to the entrance to the temple. The world swung back and forth. I received an unsteady debuff, but it quickly faded. I jostled as she rushed up the stairs.
Entering Temple of the Chained Gods.
The haunting, Gregorian chant-style music filled my ears. Clara's feet echoed loudly across the marble floors. I listened as she paid the radiant cleric for the privilege to enter the temple. I had flashbacks of going to church as a child. Clara wasn't going straight for the barrier. Instead, she went for the triangular pool of blood, and then she'd walk as far west as she could along the bloody duct, getting me as close as she could without being suspicious. She'd managed to change out the barrier before without getting questioned, but we didn't want to press our luck. Faye did not normally approach Ragel, but she got as close as she could. She was going to reach into her bag, grasp an empty jar, and dip into the pool of blood. I would jump into the blood and swim my way up the channel as quickly as I could until I was on the other side of the barrier. Thanks to my breathless ability, I wouldn't need to come up for air. From there, I would approach the frozen angel and make my way up his body to the flower. Thanks to my soul power potions, I could recast miniaturize if I started to run out of time, so I wasn't too worried about suddenly popping into existence in front of everyone. I was worried that fighting the bloody current would exhaust me. With my tiny size, I feared the trek up the channel would take a long, long time.
Okay, I'm about 15 feet from the barrier. That's as close as I dare get. There are 5 of the lizard heads worshipping. Try not to splash around too much. Here we go.
She reached her giant hand into her pocket, and I climbed in as she grasped a jar. She dipped me directly into the blood, and I immediately fell in over my head. I was overwhelmed with the smell. It wasn't like iron or metal or anything like that. It was more of a sweet, rotten fish stench. The moment the darkness took me, my head started to swim.
Damage taken. Damage taken. Warning. You are submerged in angel blood. You may not cast resurrection magic while submerged. You will lose 1% of health per second while submerged.
Motherfucker. My active spell didn't cancel, thank goodness. My countdown was at 5 minutes, but I would die long before that. There was no way I could do this in 5 minutes, let alone 100 seconds. I'd have to pull myself out of the channel and hope they didn't notice me. I couldn't see a thing. A slight current pushed me back, threatening to pull me away from the direction I wanted to go. Shit, shit, shit. What to do? I shot my grappling hook forward, hoping to find something to latch onto. I couldn't see anything. My hand clutched something that felt like stone. I retracted, pulling myself forward. Too fast. I felt the blood ripple around me. If anyone was looking down, they'd see a disturbance as I passed. I guessed I could move about 6 feet with each blast of my hook. I shot again and again, racing against my plummeting health bar. I couldn't tell if I was past the barrier without poking my head out of the river, and I didn't dare do that. Not until the last possible moment. My health was down to 10%. I had confirmed I could use the soul power potions while underwater. One didn't drink those. I wasn't so sure about the health potions. How do you drink something while you're already submerged? I grasped at the health potion on my belt, but I hesitated. If you drink any of this blood, you're not going to just poison yourself. You're going to drop dead. I yanked myself forward one last time, and then I grasped the health potion. I swam to the surface. I poked my head up, popped the cork, and I drank just before my health inched below 5%. The potion brought me up to about 55%, so I pulled another one as I quickly figured out where I was. I was past the barrier, about halfway between it and the base of the frozen angel. Behind me, a small group of the Caduceus prostrated themselves, chanting as they worshipped. One of them looked up just as I sank below the surface. Did he see me? I didn't know. I couldn't hear anything under here. Maybe he thought I was a bubble in the river. Surely there had to be some disturbances. I didn't wait around. Shoot, grasp, retract, shoot, grasp, retract. I dragged myself to the base of the angel. The closer I got, the shallower the channel became. My health was running low again. I had less than 2 minutes left of my miniaturize, and in order to cast that again, I had to get completely out of the blood. The angel was recessed into a nook. I couldn't remember the way it looked from the cutscene, but Clara explained that there was a small, rectangular collection pool at the base. About 2 feet separated it from the wall of the alcove. I would have to climb out and move to the space between the angel and the wall where casual observers wouldn't see me. My cloak was useless here. Not when I was soaked. I couldn't wait any longer. I hauled myself out of the pool, and I made a line for the recess. A shout rose. Then another. Fuck. I initiated my shield as I slipped into the space behind the angel's leg. I didn't wait. I recast miniaturize, but I made myself bigger. My full size wouldn't fit back here, but I needed to move as quickly as possible. Ragel's skin was hot to the touch, not quite to the level I'd seen in the memory with Puskunji, but it was hot enough to burn my hand. I'd anticipated this and quickly downed a potion called Fire Endure. It normally lasted 2 minutes, but it lasted 4 for me. The effect was strange. It didn't negate the heat, but it made it so I just didn't hurt or drop my health points. It was a subtle but important difference. The fingers on my right hand were still getting burned, though it was less than it would be. I just didn't feel it. Just like with my once-a-day invulnerable, I'd have to heal myself before it wore off. I shot my hook up, grasping onto the stone-like robe. More shouting rose from within the temple. I didn't know what, if anything, they could do until they figured out the barrier spell was a fake. Surely the Radiance had a contingency plan. I didn't want to wait around to find out what it was. I climbed to the shoulder, and I finally was able to peek over to the barrier. Multiple Radiance and Caduceus now gathered at the edge, shouting and pointing. I was quickly spied, and they went berserk. I had to look like a small, blood-red demon to their eyes. I waved before sliding over the shoulder and dropping into the cupped hand. At my current size, the black sprout was almost as tall as I was. My strength was not affected by my size. I grasped onto the stalk, and I pulled. The flower did not come easily. From my earlier discussions with Franz, Andrus, and one of the city's alchemists, the flower partially replaced the nervous system with a system of unbreakable roots. The plants could only be removed once the flower bloomed out of the chest cavity, and that happened several days after the initial planting. I tugged on the stem, utilizing the full strength of my mechanical left hand to yank. The roots slowly started to give, coming like I was pulling the rope machine at the gym. They just came and came. The roots didn't pile up into the hand, however. After I'd removed about 6 inches of roots from the body, the flower seemed to suck them into itself. I pulled and pulled and pulled. I had to pause to refill my soul points and recast miniaturize. I healed and downed another of the Fire Endure potions. I peeked my head over the tip of the praying hands. A contingent of red and gold armored Radiance stood ready at the barrier, ready to charge in. It reminded me of videos of prison riots where the guards all lined up to charge into the cells. They looked pissed. I recognized their armor. These were their elite troops. I didn't know what they were waiting for. Probably some sort of spell-casting Radiant to remove the barrier. At any moment, Clara was going to kill the barrier on the other side. The plan was to originally wait for the angel to wake up, but just in case I was seen early, she would wait for the commotion to get fully out of hand on this side of the room before she made her move. She'd cast miniaturize using her ring to get into the hand of the other angel where she'd mirror what I was doing. I continued to yank. The roots just kept coming. My hands tingled as the tiny hairs of the roots probed at me, trying to break their way into me. More shouting rose, and the clattering of feet told me they'd either lowered the barrier or figured out it wasn't really there. They rushed to the base of the frozen angel, but there they paused, unsure of what to do next. They seemed loath to shoot or even touch the angel, but they couldn't get to me otherwise. Black smoke filled the space above me, seeping down into the hands.
Poison gas resisted.
They didn't know I was a worm surgeon. They probably hoped it would kill whatever creature was up here. I pulled and pulled, trying not to cough. If they cast a sleep or paralysis spell, I'd be fucked. The resistance on the roots started to slacken, and just as I yanked the last of it up, the world paused and flashed. A memory. Three angels stand upon a tall hill, overlooking the hinterland. I recognize Puskunji. The other two are Ragel and Dremiel. Behind them, the azure blue sea that represents the edge of the map glitters. They stand on the hill that will eventually house the temple.
The city will go in the east,
Dremiel says. He is tall, with olive skin. His smoky wings drift lazily in the air.
The humans will come once the trees reach full maturity and the oxygen levels stabilize. This will be no place for children and families and soft-bodied humans. We should garrison this world with the Dominions and be done with it.
Ragel lifts a finger, pointing at his fellow angel. He looks much like Jeremiel, though his eyes are a pale white, giving him the impression of being blind.
We war only as a last resort, sister. This is not a military operation. You know this.
Time passes. A new scene. Ragel and Jeremiel sit at a table. A third angel sits across from them, one I do not recognize. I recognize the room. It is the temple, and the table sits where the triangular pool of blood now stands. The gold dais that will eventually house a statue of Pascungi is the only recognizable part of the room. But instead of Pascungi, a statue of another figure now sits upon the plinth. I try to observe it, but I am temporarily blinded the moment I look. I take damage, even in the cutscene. I can feel it there, a burning, radiant presence in the room. I feel drawn to it, like a bug to a flame. My sense of perception is off because I have no physical presence in this scene, but I realize that the angels are much too close to the ceiling. They are in their true form here, and each are 30 feet tall. This third angel sits so he faces this small statue. Tears stream down his face as he looks up and sees what I cannot. He is smaller than the other two. His wings are of black, dripping smoke. His clothes are rags. While clearly an angel, his skin is pale, sickly. His black hair sits upon his head in clumpy patches.
So fragile, yet so strong,
the third angel says. I think he's speaking of the statue, but I'm not certain.
Is it safe to keep it here?
Even if the portal is rent open, only a human-sized creature may enter. They can't transform once they're within.
Still, you should have just sealed us away. By leaving it here, you give them a path. If one manages to get inside and then transform, it would be the end of everything.
Our father doesn't want to seal you off. He wants you to come home. If we completely seal it, there is no reopening. We would be trapped too. Go now, brother. Go with peace. Tell them the terms.
I realize with a start, I know exactly who this new angel is.
Do you think they will agree?
Ragel says to this third angel.
I don't know.
Zagan says.
They must. If not, war will come. The humans will suffer. Our brothers and sisters will continue to suffer. Being out of his presence, it's changing us, brother. Bale, Sitri, Beleth, Asmodeus, Lamashtu, Vinea. I do not wish to tell you what is happening to them. If we can't come to an agreement, maybe we can burn our own path. All this pain, this suffering.
He looks again at the burning statue. I realize with horror that his eyes are bubbling. They are actually boiling as they gaze upon the visage of the statue. I know now it's an image of the Creator. Zagan abruptly stands, turning away.
I will try to get Bale to send an emissary.
He looks down, as if he can no longer bear it.
He won't trust me to negotiate, but he will send others.
Be well, brother. But tell Bale. Tell him I am sorry. Tell him we want this to end as much as he does.
Zagan nods and walks from the room. The two angels stand in silence for a long moment. Jeremiel turns to Ragel and says,
I am hopeful.
Me too, brother.
Pascungi strides into the room, walking purposefully toward the two angels.
Sister, good news! We...
Pascungi lifts her hand, and twin flames shoot forth, simultaneously skewering both the angels between the eyes. They drop to their knees. I awakened from the cutscene to find myself falling. My miniature eyes had run out, and I had returned to full size. I splashed hard into the small pool of blood, taking a large portion of damage. I instinctively cast Reconstitute and popped another soul potion. The motion was quick. I didn't even need to pull it from my belt. I just flicked the cork away with my thumb, and the vial disappeared. It took me a moment to realize I bowled over several Radiants who'd been standing at the base of the angel. But they did not attack. They barely noticed me. All of them, every living soul in the temple, stood, mouths agape, as the angel Ra'gel awakened from his long slumber. The black sprout that had bound him remained in my hand, and I quickly tossed it into my inventory.
Brother!
The angel's voice was loud, confused. He took a tentative step forward. We scattered back. It was unclear if he had memory or not of his time under the sprout's control. I hoped he did, otherwise this would be harder. A second voice boomed, this time from across the hall.
I am here!
More commotion filled the room as the others realized that both angels had awakened.
Where is she?
Ra'gel surveyed the room. He saw me, his eyes registering surprise.
You are the one who removed the flower from me. Where is my sister?
Please, this is very important. We need to talk. We need you to come with us. I will explain.
The angel fell to a knee, breaking the marble of the temple. The channel of blood splattered. An ominous crack spiderwebbed up the wall. He reached forward and snatched me up. I cried in pain as his burning fingers squeezed. He pulled me up so I faced him.
Where the fuck is Pascungi?
She's taken the form of a Phoenix Guardian. She is guarding the rift.
He dropped me. This time, I was ready and used my grappling hook to slow my descent.
Brother, follow me.
The angel leaped straight up through the ceiling, his form enlarging as his smoky wings formed about him. A moment later, Jeremiel followed his brother into the sky. The marble ceiling of the temple shattered outward. Rocks crashed all around me. Multiple notifications filled my screen.
A warrant has been issued for your arrest in the city of Medina. Warning, the protection that shields Medina from demon incursion has failed. Warning, the source of celestial magic in the realm is starting to fade. Food boxes will no longer provide blood nuggets. Once the current stock is exhausted, it may not return.
Jesus, I thought, as I dodged a falling chunk of marble. Good thing we removed that army outside the gates. Demons still patrolled the skies, but the amount was greatly reduced. The vast majority of the remaining demons had fallen back to the pavilions closer to the rift.
Experience earned. Level up. You are now level 48.
The crashing marble settled. The temple still stood for the moment, but it now had two massive holes in the ceiling. A light rain filtered through, diluting the blood that remained in the pool. I stood amongst a group of Radiants. One of them turned to another.
The angel is going to kill Pascungi. It's like the prophecy. We must fight. We must rise up and protect our guardian.
And that was the moment they noticed I was standing amongst them.